If you manual laborers would work as hard as the owners, you wouldn't be so poor now, would you?
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Hey fam, it is Phoenix Kalita from The Wine Cellar. And I am doing that international news thing, right? So I just do a straight read through of a couple international news stories to try to kind of diversify what our listeners are hearing, right? Because typically our stories are usually American-based, and there's a whole wide world out there, and things are happening, and, you know, maybe people would like to know about it. I promise it will not involve Russia in anything related to Trump or Mueller or Russia hacked elections. That's not what I mean when I say foreign stories or international news. So don't worry. All right. What have we got here? We have Saudi Arabia, right? So I don't know if folks remember when the new leader of Saudi Arabia came over to America and the news outlets were like, oh, he's so liberal and he's progressive and he's going to modernize the kingdom because he's letting women drive and all these sorts of things. And actual activists were like, no, silly Americans, he's actually horrible and has incredibly regressive policies. And he only wants women to drive because he wants women in the workforce. But he's not lifting the guardianship laws, which are basically still dictate, you know, you still can't drive if your husband or son or whoever your male guardian is, right? Everyone has one. All the women have them. So it's typically a son, a husband, or a father, you know, or it could be an uncle or a cousin, depending, you know. But the idea behind the guardianship laws is that even though women have the right to drive, and now they can be out in mixed company at certain events or certain, you know, places like restaurants or cafes, you can't do that if your guardian doesn't let you. You can't get a job if your guardian doesn't let you. You can't travel and leave the country if your guardian doesn't let you, so on and so forth. And so their point was, yeah, he's getting more women into the economy by allowing them to drive and therefore be able to get jobs, but it's still pretty shit if your guardian says no, because you still have to follow the rules of your guardian. And so that was a whole conversation, and of course American media ignored it because we love to fawn over the king of Saudi Arabia for some fucking reason. And here we go. Saudi Arabia has executed 37 men convicted of terror-related crimes, according to the kingdom's official news agency. One of the convicts was crucified, according to an interior ministry statement carried out by the Saudi press agency. In Saudi Arabia, crucifixion means the body of someone executed is strung up and put on display as a deterrent to others. The death penalty was implemented on a number of criminals for adopting extreme terrorist ideologies and forming terrorist cells to corrupt and disrupt security, as well as spreading chaos and provoking sectarian life, said the Saudi press agency in a tweet. The statement added that some of those executed were charged with killing security officials with explosives. So, yeah, mass executions and crucifixions. He has clearly fucking modernized the shit out of Saudi Arabia, right? It's very, very progressive. Crucifixion is progressive, actually. Now, the statement listed the names of 37 Saudi nationals who were executed in various parts of the country. The majority of those executed were Shia men, according to Amnesty International, which dismissed the legal proceedings that led to the convictions as sham trials that violated international fair trial standards and relied on confessions extracted through torture. The kingdom has repeatedly denied allegations of torture. Yeah, they also denied killing Khashoggi, too. But here the fuck we are, right? Where they hacked him up with a bone saw while he was alive. Yeah, okay. Those executed include 11 men convicted of spying for Iran and at least 14 others who were convicted of violent offenses relating to participation in anti-government demonstrations. Nigga, help me. All right, I'm going to go back up to their quote. This is the quote from their news agency, right? The death penalty was implemented on a number of criminals for adopting extreme terrorist ideologies and forming terrorist cells to corrupt and disrupt security, as well as spreading chaos and provoking sectarian strife. Let me read that. Now let me read the other part here. 14 others were convicted of violent offenses related to participation in anti-government demonstrations. Protesting. These niggas got killed for being at anti-government protests, which happened in the eastern province of the country between 2011 and 2012. So 2011, some people went to a protest. Yesterday, they all got fucking crucified, literally crucified, because they were disrupting society by protesting the government. This is the fucking progressive guy, right? One of the men listed in Tuesday's government statement was, oh fuck, I can't say this, Abdul Karim Al-Hawaj, who according to Amnesty was arrested at the age of 16 and convicted of offenses relating to his involvement in anti-government protests. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, see, one to a fuck, he didn't kill anybody. He's not, because they made it sound like, oh, these are fucking, you know, terrorists and they're gonna like become suicide bombers or something. No, the fuck they're not. They protested the government. Ah. Another man, Haider Al-Laif, had previously given a final and definitive judgment of an 8-year jail sentence, according to a letter in Saudi Arabia, in response to a Human Rights Office report on arbitrary detentions and executions in the kingdoms. He was charged with shooting members of security forces and using Molotov cocktails and other acts of violence related to protests in the town of Awamiya, according to Saudi Arabia's letter to the UN. But a 2008 report on extrajudicial summary or arbitrary executions described Leaf as not a risk. So they lied on him, basically. What the fuck, man? So, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has long ago adopted a zero-tolerance policy towards terrorists who spill blood of the innocent, threaten the national security of the kingdom, or distort our great faith, said... Who is this person who said this? It just says an official. I don't have a name here. The convicted criminals who were executed today had their day in court and were found guilty of very serious crimes. The crimes of protesting the government. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And also, you know, the article continues. And this is on CNN, by the way. And just notes that Saudi Arabia has one of the highest death penalty rates in the world. It carried out one of the largest mass executions in January 2016 when 47 people were put to death, including prominent Shia leader Namir al-Namir. The executed prisoners were accused of terrorism and having extremist ideology. Okay. Since Prince Mohammed bin Salman first emerged into the kingdom's political scene in 2015, he has overseen an intensified crackdown on dissent. He began his political career as defense minister and was elevated to crown prince in 2017. In recent years, the crown prince has ordered the roundup of scores of activists, high-profile clerics, analysts, businessmen, and even other princes, as well as women's rights defenders who are allegedly tortured and whom authorities accuse of suspicious contact with foreign entities. So yeah, don't forget that either. That yeah, they let women drive, but the women who protested to get women the right to drive basically got rounded up, tortured, and disappeared in prisons. And actually, a bunch of them are still missing. So yeah, that is the ever-progressive bringing Saudi Arabia to the future of Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe we probably should have listened when folks told us so, because activists and people who have actually lived in Saudi Arabia did fucking tell us so. Yeah? All right. Israel, doing what Israel does. This is why this is a BDS household. Israeli soldiers shot a blindfolded, handcuffed Palestinian teenager who had been arrested on suspicion of taking part in disturbances. So yeah, blindfolded and tied up and running away, and they shot him in the back because that's because they want to be Americans. All right. Where are we here? The shooting happened after a funeral in the Palestinian region of Tuku, south of Bethlehem in the West Bank, last Thursday, according to witnesses. Photo and video from the scene from residents of Tuku show, who had been filming, show 15-year-old Osama al-Badan with his hands bound behind his back trying to run away from four Israeli soldiers who were standing nearby. Al-Badan was shot once in each leg with a pistol, according to his father. He was detained by the soldiers for doing nothing. They accused him of throwing stones, but I'm sure he didn't. He had nothing to hide and would admit if he threw a stone, but is that an excuse to shoot him? A statement from IDF says the incident is under investigation. See? Israelis love fucking investigating what they do to Palestinians the way white cops in America love investigating what they do to black people and brown people. Yeah. Earlier in the day, a Palestinian school teacher had been killed in a traffic accident, drawing a large crowd to her funeral. At the funeral, clashes broke out between Palestinians and Israeli forces on the road leading into Tuku. The shooting followed massive stone throwing on IDF forces in the area, as well as cars traveling along the road, which, quote, endangered the lives of civilians and the forces. The forces responded with riot dispersal means. That sounds ominous. What the riot dispersal means? All right. And at the same time arrested one of the rioters who tried to flee after his arrest. The arrested was detained in a nearby point and after a short time tried to flee the forces. The forces began a pursuit during which he was shot in his lower body. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, I mean, this is totally normal, totally not, genocidal, totally not, you know, a human rights violation. What the fuck, man? Jesus Christ. And then... well, it gets better. Haha. Photos and videos from this scene show a small group of Palestinians rushing to help Abadan as a soldier holds a tourniquet to stop bleeding from one of the gunshot wounds. Another soldier points his weapon at the crowd to keep the Palestinians at bay, yelling, "Whoever comes closer, I put a bullet in his forehead." What? Palestinian man yells back, "I want to take him for treatment." And the soldier responds, "I have my own treatment." Okay. Jesus fucking Christ. All right, so yeah, that's what they're doing. They're shooting blindfolded, tied-up kids now. That's cool. For allegedly throwing rocks, you know, like, if that even happened. It probably didn't. So, all right, Quebec. I know, like, don't you love these fucking segues? These are, like, not, yeah, no segues at all. Rapidly melting snow caused bodies of water to swell through Quebec, Canada, flooding nearly 3,000 homes in the province. The flooding also forced evacuation of over 1,300 people, according to figures from Urgence Quebec, the government's informational branch for... informational branch. Apparently, I can't say the word branch. For emergency communications. Some 1,700 homes were also cut off by rising floodwaters. Flooding alerts remain in place in many regions. So, yeah, climate change doesn't exist. Right? So everything got so warm so fast, everything fucking flooded. It's awesome. And also, I might link the article. It's just interesting because they're clearly in, like, a suburban neighborhood, and there's just, like, a fucking, like, tank rolling through it. It looks, I don't know, very, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, dystopian, I guess? It's a little fucking wild. And of course, you know, so Quebec is having flooding because of climate change and, you know, sudden heat waves and all the snow melting at once. But remember, I think a couple weeks ago now, talked about flooding in Africa that was also caused by climate change. And so that's still going on. Fucking in Mozambique, there's still a ton of flooding. And I want to see here if they have, I'm scrolling this, this is like a picture essay, I guess you would say, where it's just pictures of like the damage and debris, which is a huge amount of debris. But I want to see if they have an updated death total. Let me see what we have here. All right, this is the situation report. If it will, no, I don't want to pop up. So between April 18th and April 22nd, another 700 people were relocated. Wow. The number of internally displaced people living in accommodations has decreased to 72,793 across 65 sites. In Manica, Sofala, Tete, Zambezia. Okay, I'm saying all these names perfectly right, I'm sure. Malaria cases in Sofala are still continuing to rise, with so far there are 14,863 malaria cases. And then there are 6,125 Namatanda, 4,484 in Dando, and 4,134 in Biera, and 123 in Buzi. Many locations remain inaccessible or hard to reach by road. There are 1.85 million people in need, 6,596 cases of cholera, and 1.3 people who have received food assistance. Wow. 938,000 people have had to have required water assistance. So yeah, Mozambique is still fucked up. And that was the report as of the 22nd, so 2 days ago. Yeah. So yeah, climate change is becoming a problem. So, you know, I guess we can keep denying it, but it's like the evidence is right there. So yeah, fucking flooding in parts of the world that's not supposed to be there, right? And it's only going to get worse as, you know, the climate continues doing what the climate's doing. So, yeah, that's all I have. Just some updates so you know what's going on in some other parts of the world. Because it's good to be informed, right? Yes. And sometimes it's good to not focus on American news because, you know, yeah, Trump did something ridiculous and some white supremacist shot somebody. Like, yeah, we know. All right. I am out of here because I have swap work to do. I am getting stuff together on the December 17th website. So if you do know any sex workers who are deceased, please feel free to pass that information along to me and I can put them on the remembrance wall so they can be memorialized if that's something you would like to do. You can always message me at the Reading in the Shade page on Facebook, or if we're Facebook friends, you can message me there. Or you can probably most likely and quickly and efficiently access me on Twitter at @UpperyNegress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. And of course, if you like what we do, as always, you can become a patron at patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. Or if you want to give us a one-time tip for something, you can do that at paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. And I think that is all I have. Please have a wonderful day. Be safe. Enjoy yourself. And yeah, we're going to figure this shit out. All right, I'll see y'all later.
Thank you for that clap.
I love Mexicans. Some of my best boyfriends are Mexican.
It's not exactly a traditional recipe, Pepsi and potatoes, but put these ingredients together and you get a huge, huge uproar. PepsiCo is actually suing 4 Indian farmers, accusing them of growing a certain type of potato that it says is exclusively for Lay's chips. It's reportedly demanding damages amounting to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Farmers associations in India say the law is on the side of the small farmers. Now, Pepsi says it will drop the lawsuit if the farmers that it's suing join its authorized cultivation program. It's just one example of friction between small Indian operators and international mega corporations. We've also seen local retailers accuse giants like Walmart and Amazon of ruining their business. How are the farmers actually supposed to know that a company like Pepsi has exclusive rights to a certain type of potato?
Well, I mean, I think this is exactly the question that some of us members, you know, would ask, really. And it sort of highlights the way in which it makes it's a bit of a nonsense, really, when these huge corporations seem to own things like seeds or water supply, these sorts of things, which, you know, to most people's way of thinking, really belong to all of us. So, you know, we're not surprised that the farmers, you know, didn't really believe themselves to be doing anything wrong, and that this lawsuit has come as a huge shock and is completely overwhelming.
The lawsuit was for over $100,000 for each of the farmers. I mean, when you have a massive, I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a small-time farmer in a place like India and having Pepsi suing you. I mean, how do farmers protect themselves?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think we're seeing civil society in India has really come forward to stand with these farmers and challenge the behaviour of PepsiCo in this case, but also, you know, similar corporations. You mentioned Amazon in the introduction, you know, who've also been accused of doing things which are really damaging many Indian domestic operations. And I think there's some evidence that the Indian government is taking steps to regulate, but these are tough questions to answer, because it is critically important that, you know, we don't end up in a situation where a handful of companies are, you know, owning the seeds that we rely on to produce our food supply, or, you know, are responsible for almost all the business that gets done online.
So Pepsi's argument is that they filed this lawsuit to protect the interests of thousands of farmers who are part of its potato farming program. Is that a fair argument, do you think?
I don't think so, really. I mean, I think, you know, you asked a good question at the beginning, which is, you know, how are they supposed to know, really, that these seeds are sort of, you know, they belong to somebody else? But I also think that, you know, arguably PepsiCo is really setting up a relationship of dependency between some of these farmers with whom it has its cultivation program. We're seeing examples in some cases, for instance, of seeds being developed that will only grow and will only thrive if they are also raised using fertilizers or what have you that are also produced by some of these parent companies. So you are seeing sort of small farmers really ending up sort of in hock to some of these very big businesses. And it's hard to see that as kind of, you know, creating the conditions in which everybody can make a success of a small business.
Jamming on a hot bar with their breast hanging out.
Hey, gang. Do you want to handle your internalized misogyny without dealing with that pesky feminism, social change, or honest introspection?
Damn right you do! So wrap your flappy mansplainers around a frosty bottle of Diet Misogyny.
That's right. Diet Misogyny. It tastes just like regular misogyny, with only half the chauvinism.
With Diet Misogyny, I only slut-shame women that have consensual sex before sundown.
With Diet Misogyny, I can mask my fat-shaming as health concerns.
Diet Misogyny tastes just like a regular misogyny.
With Diet Misogyny, I only hate black women. That's awfully racist, isn't it?
Thanks to Diet Misogyny, I'm no longer anti-abortion. I'm just pro-restrictions.
Diet Misogyny tastes just like regular misogyny.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time!
Even the ugly ones!
All right, I want to feel this motherfucker. Yes. Let that shit be kind of rude. Yes. Feel that motherfucker right there. It's Wine Cellar. We're trying to get our website back up and running. WineCellarMedia.com is a little hurt right now. Shit got real, shit got rough, shit got grisly. Got back with the host gator for the server. And fixing shit up with the WordPress. Not going to be able to do it till Wednesday when the Patreon comes through, because there's been a lack of overtime at the job.
Ugh. It gets real.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
All right. Now, you're coming in with us with a struggle week with the Wine Cellar. All right. Let me make this a little bit more reasonable. Okay. It is going to be a struggling, tough week for the Wine Cellar. This weekend kicked our asses. The snow totally fucked off everything that we had scheduled. Yeah, the snow on April 27th. And remember, climate change brings extreme weather conditions. It's not always hot, folks. It's just weird sometimes. Yeah. All right, so Phoenix Kaliter, folks have talked about this before. If you never heard of the histoplasmosis, look that up. Phoenix Kaliter has that severely, and right now the inflammation, the swelling, is in her joints, in her feet, and I think ankles, if I have it right. And it's just really fucking gruff and grisly right now. Like, she actually wasn't even able to operate the vehicle to get me back from the factory today after work. I took the Uber. excuse me, a rather uncomfortable Uber. I don't know how this vehicle is an Uber X. I don't know. But I was discomforted. All right. But yeah, man, it's fucking grisly. So this is definitely going to be a struggle week for the wine cellar getting content up, right? Even this one right here is audio only. No video. No video. No time for video prep. And so Phoenix Leader did hit those headlines. We got that Pepsi story in. You know we like to get some Flint news in. I will be digging into that. There will be Flint news this week, as there typically is. Always trans rights. We're going to look for updates on trans rights stories, Trans Lives Matter stories. And but right now, I figure let's go to the right wing, and then we'll wrap up this Monday wine cellar. All right, we're going to go over to the right wing to do this.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
E.W. Jackson again. All right, E.W., too much air in the mix of his radio show, Jackson. And E.W. Jackson has a message for his target audience about these people on the left. A fair warning, you might say, about these people on the left. All right, let's funky around with that.
I believe this with all my heart, folks. I really believe this with all my heart. I'm serious. I believe that if the right circumstance presented itself, people on the left would kill us.
Blam! Fact-based truth. And you know the funny shit is, like, when they do that shit, like, when Democrats are running around trying to call niggas like me alt-left and fucking purity test and all that old type shit, what they're not fucking realizing is niggas that are to the right of them are lumping us all in together. Right? The right-wingers, they're saying that old mark-ass nigga Cory Booker is the fucking same as me and Phoenix, and we're the same as Antifa, right? Like, we're all the fucking same. And dead up, I'm not as hard as Antifa. Them niggas will whoop my ass. Shit. Okay? So, let's keep it greasy. The right-wingers are calling all of us that. So when the right-wingers, when their audience members come up off that couch and grab that shotgun and think they need to go shoot a leftist to defend freedom from leftist freedom stealers, they'll shoot any of us, you fucking Democrats. So why don't you fucking loke up and step left and actually be it, because they're gonna gun for you anyway. I mean, did that nigga not show up to that shit strapped up behind the fucking Pizzagate nonsense pushed by Joe Rogan? All right, E.W. Jackson continues.
And I'm not saying all of them, but I think many of them would kill us because their hatred is so deep. It is so profound. It is so toxic that I think they would rationalize to themselves that the world would be a better place, which is what communists always do, isn't it?
You know what? On some level, like, I think there's like one of those like Facebook pages called "I Feel Personally Attacked," something like that. Yeah, like is he on some slick shit trying to talk about Emperor William? But I don't think I would fall under communist. I don't think I'd really like, if you really got down to the gritty details of shit, I'm probably not actually a Marxist, a socialist, a communist, an anarchist. I'm mostly just anti-capitalist and anti-white supremacy. I'm more so against things than I am for things, right? Like, I'm against patriarchy. You wipe it out. I have no idea what to replace it with. Can we just have 3 decades of celebrating no patriarchy and maybe come up with a new idea on the way? I just want to get rid of shit. Like, hell, if you think about it, like, that's how I clean up. I will literally just throw away shit that's on the floor because you probably don't really care about it if it's on the floor, right? Like, I just throw away shit and then look around to think of what I want to do with the space that I'm occupying. That's just how I get down. right? Blow it all up, build it back. All right, let's see.
I mean, that's what communists always do. They say, well, the world will be a better place without them.
Now, but then there's the cold shit, though, right? Like, with that Unite the Right, that Charlottesville shit, on which side was someone murdered? I mean, you don't just drive a car into people without trying to murder someone. Dr. Tiller, the baby killer, as Bill O'Reilly said. Like, which side has bodies? Right? So, you know, they... But they're full of shit. They bullshit. And they know it.
And so in killing them, we do the world a favor. See, when we know we as Christians, we couldn't do that. We just wouldn't. We couldn't.
Christians wouldn't kill people to make the world better. These are the words he just said out of his coon ass buck dancing nigga face on purpose.
We wouldn't. Why? A, because we love them. We love.
Oh, yeah, those loving Klan members. Or really any other sect of Christian, right? Like, that's something like, that's why, God damn it, I wish I had the fucking funding to really go out there and do journalism. Fuck a journalism degree. I will ask the questions that people want to know. Like, whenever one of these fucking, I'll get back on the murderer cops thing, right? Like, right now with the wine cellar, we deal with rapist cops, hashtag good cops. But I'll get on the murderer cops thing because I just want to ask each and every one, what's your religion? Christian, Catholic, you know, Presbyterian, like Trumple Stiltskin. But see how many murderers are motherfucking Christians.
Them, and we don't want to kill anybody. We don't want to harm anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody. B, because God has commanded us to love even our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us.
Oh, they love pretending that they're that. Pray. Pray? No, these people get physical. Like, remember when, I think it was a Target, store, and, a cis woman was attacked by a cis man because he assumed that she was a transgender woman going into the, bathroom. Right? These people don't sit back and pray. These people are physical. These people are active. These monkeys do way more than just throw their shit.
And to do good to them. So we're just not going there. I could not a bit more see myself walking up to somebody on the left or some homosexual activist. And
why you gotta be homosexual activist? Why? Why? That's such heavy-handed wording. Homosexual activist. Which, and I guarantee you what his audience is hearing is, anybody that does the gay, right, that gets with another gay and they take off their articles of clothing and they gay on each other is a homosexual activist.
And hitting them or pushing them or touching them or grabbing them in some way.
All right. No right winger can ever say that they're not about grabbing something after they're all mobbing with Trumple Stiltskin. Nigga, y'all is all about grabby.
Hey, now I'm not saying people can't make you mad enough to, you know, kind of you have that urge, but I couldn't see myself doing that for anything in the world. I mean, unless I'm attacked, then that's a different matter. If I'm attacked, I'm going to defend myself. But no, that because God cannot be glorified by inglorious means.
Nigga. Then. You know what? Fuck it. How do you even comment on that? It's such a high level of bullshit. And there's something that I think is happening too here. Because him saying this shit like, we're Christians, we're peaceful. Like, I guarantee he's not peaceful. His rhetoric is violent. He is not peaceful. Right? But he plays it. And I guarantee you, in his regular life, E.W. Jackson isn't pulling no strap on nobody. E.W. Jackson himself is not drawing heat on anybody. He is not raising a closed fist or an open hand to bring it across not nam person's cheek. that they may turn it. He is not. But what he is doing is he's talking to the people who will pull a strap on you and blast on you. He's talking to the people that will raise their hand or their boot and strike down upon you. And he's allowing them, for the minutes that they're listening to his radio show, to pretend that they are what he is saying before they go out there and put in that work. All right. That's the last few seconds.
But make no mistake about it. I believe that they would gladly do that to us. I think that's what we're up against.
I believe right. And you know what? That's what he did there. He closed it out with, they would do that to us. So now you, listener, right? And not you wine cellar heads that are tuned into this joint. Y'all niggas is chilling. But the folks that are tuned into his program, you listeners, now you just got to pretend you were peaceful with me. But because they're all the left is coming after you to get you, strap up. Strap up and go who ride. And yet again is one of these moments where I realize a lot of white women tuned into this program. Strap up and go who ride. That is the Southern California vernacular that the Negroes use when they Blood or Crip gang-affiliated individuals are piling into a vehicle so that they can mostly retaliate on other Blood or Crip affiliated individuals. It's typically used for retaliation, a who ride. All right. And that's a good thing, I think. All right, motherfuckers. WineCellarMedia.com, hopefully coming back soon. Shit got all fucked up. I hope we didn't lose all our archives on there, because our website was hashtag Good Cop Central. But I mean, we still have the podcast and all that shit out there. Like, all our shit still exists in other areas, but having our own website is very useful. It's very powerful, you know. So yeah, I need to get that back up and or running as soon as possible. Righto. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, where folks that are signed up to that, you got Phoenix Kalita's Sex Workers Outreach Project program a few days early. But it is on the socialized feed right now. It is indeed Monday, April 29th, 2019. And hopefully, I don't know what I'll do. If Phoenix Kalita, like, because she's in a great deal of pain, if she's unable to produce content for Wednesday and Friday, I will take my energy and I'll just gather sex workers' rights news and I will get some shit up on that feed. All right? So we'll still get the content up, you know? And there is, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And there is the old tip jar at paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam. And actually, let me go to it because somebody actually helped us out a great deal moving forward on there a few days ago. And I was like, cuz, that's the homie logo right there. Oh, excuse me. And they left a note. That's something that's cool that folks can do, is they can leave a gosh darn note. Okay, I should be able to. So I'm on the PayPal. There we go. I can go to your activity and money in. And yeah, the homie loco right here said, I'm not going to blow up the spot on your name, homie loco, but said, hi, I'm the homie from Twitter, and I'm just saying thank you. I appreciate the wisdom you share. And that's, man, thank you, nigga. Saving niggas' lives. Nigga put some groceries in a nigga face. All right? And that's real for real. All right, folks. Please, motherfuckers, be as safe as possible wherever you are.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
If you manual laborers would work as hard as the owners, you wouldn't be so poor now, would you?
This show is fucked up.
Hot tubs aren't really my thing.
What is your thing, then?
Complex female characters.